Good afternoon to you. I'm Andy Klein, host of this Friday edition of A Juno Afternoon on a beautiful October afternoon. It's almost incredible to think that it's October. It's that gorgeous out. We've got a lively one today with some of the premier lights of Juno's artistic scene, including Janice Holst to talk about the Red Ribbon Rally coming up. Also, Colette Costa is here to talk about art films at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. We're going to hear about an actor's workshop at Perseverance Theater. And none other than George Kuhar himself will be here to talk about Saturday's Playboy Spaceman Halloween Skull Dance Party. That's all happening, plus Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, so much more. Coming up on A Juno Afternoon, right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe asks for peace and calls on law enforcement to ensure safety after militarized officers with tanks and riot gear moved in to remove people at a roadblock and camp on a highway in North Dakota Thursday, where people are opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline. More than 140 arrests were made. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe is calling on the Obama administration to step in. Meanwhile, federal agencies are holding tribal consultations on infrastructure projects, in part due to issues raised by Standing Rock. At a consultation in New Mexico Thursday, a grassroots group demonstrated outside after being kicked out of the meeting.
We are not in official or formal positions, and we took advantage of that. The Red Nation is known for taking radical action.
Jennifer Marley with the Red Nation says the group first showed opposition silently inside, holding signs which read, "We stand with Standing Rock." She says things change after word spread about the actions in North Dakota. The group then shouted at government representatives.
It was just a really an extremely emotional moment because we were in a room with representatives from the Army Corps of Engineers, the Department of Interior, and we said, "They're raiding the camp. There's people being hurt. What are you going to do about it? All of these tribal leaders are telling you to be accountable, and this is happening as we speak, something that you are directly responsible for."
Tribal leaders at the meeting called on the government for improved consultations. Chairman Harold Frazier of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe in South Dakota was one of them. He says he's disappointed and says true consultation needs to include officials, not staffers. Frazier says tribal leaders also want to make sure their concerns are carried on to the next administration.
I think regardless of who's the next president, who's in office, we still need to keep moving forward. You know, our main concern is that our comments will not be heard. We just got to keep pushing forward in our issues and our positions.
His tribe's northern border is less than 50 miles from the proposed pipeline. Frazier is among leaders supporting Standing Rock. A group in Minneapolis, Minnesota, hopes to improve Native voter turnout this year. Allison Herrera tells us more.
Jen Hall is busy working the voter registration table at the Indigenous Peoples Day powwow in Minneapolis. She's part of a campaign called Make Voting a Tradition through the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI. Since National Voter Registration Day on October 4th, Jen has registered hundreds of voters and even recruited some election judges. Today, she's talking to people who are undecided or might not vote at all.
The system affects our lives whether we like it or not. I think we have the power to elect our own people to leadership and at least have an influence on the folks that are in office already.
One of those undecided voters is Stuart Perkins. He says candidates don't pay enough attention to Native issues.
Horrible stuff has to happen to us before you even say anything regarding our issues. So what does that mean for Indigenous people? The Obama dream, you know, keep the dream going. You know, what does that mean for us?
Make Voting a Tradition isn't a new campaign. Since 2013, NACDI's convinced people to get to the ballot box. They take credit for helping elect Native leadership at the city and state level. Robert Lilligren, NACDI's director, says a lot of people are energized by Obama's engagement with the Native community and want that to continue in the next administration. But he acknowledges that more work needs to be done.
The state of Minnesota historically has very high voter turnout in federal elections, right around 80%. But then there's a huge drop off when you get to Native communities and Native voters. And so the effort is to close that disparity.
The city of Minneapolis praised NACDI for their get out the vote efforts. But they know if they really want to close that disparity, they need to be knocking on doors all the way up until Election Day. I'm Allison Herrera.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support by the University of Tulsa College of Law's online Indian Law Master's Degree Program to help you work effectively in Indian Country. Spring application deadline is December 1st. More information at 844-573-3934. Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Support comes from the Alaska Robotics Gallery, offering art that features narwhals, squid, and flying whales, located at 220 Front Street in downtown Juneau. More information at alaskarobotics.com.
Dance to the music. That's what my next first guest here of Juneau Afternoon has spent her life doing and spent her life teaching folks to do. Janice Holst, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great to have you in here. And you've got a really fun thing happening tomorrow called the Red Ribbon Rally. It's happening from 1 to 3 at the Nugget Mall. Tell me a little bit about it. It's dance-oriented, I'm guessing. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, and I'll catch it and I'll tell you.
Okay.
There is dancing.
Okay.
And there's going to be the Dancers Against Drugs. There's going to be the Juno Douglas Drill Team dancers. And it's going to be acrobats and all kinds of things. And then we're going to have important people like the mayor, the deputy mayor's person is coming to read a proclamation and proclaim that everybody should be drug free.
Okay.
And the police are going to be checking in for those 2 hours, and they'll be talking, taking pictures with the kids, dropping off little samples of drawings or something, not drugs. They're going to tell
sure.
them not to do drugs.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
So tell me the start of this. This is the Red Ribbon Rally. It's a rally in which you're trying to raise awareness about drugs, about helping people not start down that path. Mm-hmm. So tell me how that started for you.
Oh, it's a silly story. Which a lot of my stories are starting, or I don't know how I get into these things. You really want to know?
Sure. I mean, you can do the long, you can do the short version, whatever.
Well, here it goes.
The 30-second version.
Oh, impossible.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, it started out in 1987. And before that, I had done the Cancer Research Telethon, where we did 100% to cancer research. And in our two telethons, we raised $250,000, and it went 100% to
wow.
research. And I had been working with this really good doctor, Dr. Sternhagen, who has since passed away, but he had helped me when I, who was it? Governor Hammond.
Hammond,
yes,
I was going to guess.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so he saw my little local one, and the next morning I was called in the governor's office, and he said, and I thought I was in trouble because KINY was worried about the FCC because they let me go overtime, and so I thought, oh, no, I got the state.
He's gonna, called into the
I'm
governor's
going to
office.
I know, well, I
that's
emailed
rough.
The governor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd only been living here one, not even about a year.
You thought that's how it worked here, you know? You do something bad on the air, the governor calls you.
I
you
know.
Get called in.
So he said, I saw your telethon and I want to talk to you about it. I said, well, I just wanted to raise $5,000. And then because so many people were bringing money, we raised $25,000, but I didn't mean to, you know.
Sorry.
Do it.
Yeah.
So he said, well, if you can raise $25,000 in 4 hours, I don't see why you can't take it statewide. What? And so, anyway, he hooked me up in every state, every little village that I went to, there was always somebody there to meet me. And so this doctor had been outstanding, and he was very famous for his work. So my husband said one day, we're going to go up to Anchorage just for the day and for a testimonial dinner. My husband, who does not like to go anywhere, you know, except watch TV and play with kids, So I said, wow, that'd be great. So I went up there and we got, and it's a last minute as usual, you know, because airplane. And I sat down at the big table that everybody was sitting, all these round tables, and it was a big packed room. And so we were going blah, 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 blah. And so the doctor and his wife were there and a lot of people from the TV stations and everything. And so I'm thinking in my head, oh, I can just talk for years about this man. He's so wonderful. And so then all of a sudden I hear Janice Holst. And so I said, oh, I said, did they call my name? And they said, yes, but I obviously was not paying attention to everything
that
was going
on. And we're not prepared for a speech here.
No.
Right, right.
So I, well, I always can.
You always, yeah, of course.
I like to talk. So I said, oh, so they said, could you come up? And so I said, certainly. And so then the lady continued talking about wonderful things that people do and all this and cancer research. And my ears are still ringing because I'm going, think of what you're going to say about Dr. Sternhagen. And so she said, so what is your platform as Mother of the Year, Alaska's Mother of the Year? I looked at her. I said, Alaska's Mother of the Year? She said, well, you are. We're selected. We're very proud and pleased and blah, blah, blah. And so she said, so what was your platform be? So I had to think, oh, okay, Janice, now you're a coach with all the models that you've trained and everything. So platform, take a deep breath, and then smile and say something.
Sure.
So
good
I
advice.
Said, well, it bothers me that so many young people are getting introduced to drugs and all that. And I said, I have so many young dancers, healthy young dancers. So whoever she was, she said, oh, dancers against drugs. Oh, what a platform. That'll be amazing. And I said, oh, it will be a lot of fun.
And that's how it started.
And that was
you were pushed into a corner, and you responded the only way you knew how.
Well, yeah. I mean, say no to drugs, but yes to anybody who wants you to do something.
So tell me
know.
About what's going to happen at the Nugget Mall. It's all happening tomorrow. It came from that kind of great story and great recognition of the work that you had done. Mm-hmm. And then it grew into this.
I know. Well,
really
well I continued
cool
doing
thing.
It year after year, mm-hmm. even though I was supposed to just do it for a year. But I it caught on, and the whole community kept every year we'd been doing it. So I closed my studio 3 years ago, you know, after I had my stroke, and I didn't have access to any of my dancers, except that two of my dancers, Krista and Danielle Cadiente, had opened the studio because they said, Mrs. Holst, we can't let people stop dancing, so we're going to open a studio and you're going to help us. You know, so I said, sure, that'd be great, you know. So, you know, that went by 3 years without doing it. But then we had lunch just in September, and they said, wouldn't it be nice to do the drugs again?
Yeah, great.
And I said, sure. So not, I knew it was only a couple more weeks till Red Ribbon Week, but I thought at least I'd teach the kids, you know, at Fusion Dance School. And they picked it up so fast, and they said, well, can we do it somewhere? And I said, sure, we can think of something.
Yeah.
And then all last week I just decided to call up some of the old friends and people that have been involved, and everybody said yes, so...
There you go. So now you're doing. So now you're booked on Saturday.
So I'll be busy from 1 to 3 on Saturday. Actually, 11:30 we'll start setting up.
Yeah.
But it's going to be great.
Yeah,
it's
what can people expect when they go?
Well, we're going to start off with, you know, the Dancers Against Drugs. They have songs that even mothers know because they used to be in it, you know, 28 years
sure.
ago. There's
yeah.
a lot of mothers that were in it, including those two girls that own the dancing studio. And so we'll have some of those songs. We'll have the deputy mayor come and meet a proclamation to, you know, to want everybody drug-free in Juneau. And we've got acrobats, and we have... The drill team is dancing at 2. They're going to do a drill down. And then Robert Kasperson, the coach of the great Crimson Bears, said, well, you know, you said you wanted something about youth and sports. So I said, yes, I just want you to come and talk to the guys, the kids, or maybe have some of the, you know, your players just hang around and talk to the kids. And so he said, well, that's great. He said, is there anything you want us to do? And you shouldn't ask me.
Yeah, right. That's a loaded.
So I said, well, as long as you're coming, I said, what if they just bounced the ball around or something and then did something, little catch or dribble, dribble, whatever basketball players do, and they can, the little kids can win a prize. He said, wow, that's great. Well, I'll have a couple of guys suit up and they'll be there with the kids.
So oh, cool.
They're coming, so the great champions, state champions, are going to be there. And, we have people like from the rainforest and the Elks and different places that are going to be having tables with mm-hmm. information so parents could pick up a pamphlet to get informed. We're going to have a coloring table so kids can color pictures, put them on the refrigerator, whatever they want to do. And we have the police department who's going to be popping in maybe three times during that two-hour span. And they will probably, you know, take pictures of the kids because every child would like to be with a policeman.
Yeah, sure.
You know, with Smiley. Rather than one of the lineup pictures.
No, yeah. That's the one you want to stay out
kind
of.
No.
That's right.
We want a nice, happy one.
Right.
So they'll be there and we'll do that. And and they'll probably bring some information or talk to parents or anyone, you know, let the kids know that the police are the good guys, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't have any notes.
So many things.
So I'm just winging it.
No, but it's so cool that this thing is going to happen again after
yes.
a little bit of a hiatus. It's
yes.
taken a few years off, but and mm-hmm. it's kind of really cool that this new studio and you've been kind of teaching it. And passing that to them as well. Yeah, sure. And I'm
yeah.
sure stay involved as well, but at the same time, this
yes,
generation.
And my granddaughter, Isabella, used to do it when she was only 2 years old. She was like, it was the smallest sweatshirt we could buy, you know, with no written on it. And she's been walking around passing out ribbons. And so now she was the one. I did all the talking and explaining, and then she just demonstrated and taught all the kids all the numbers. So
yeah.
her...
Well,
yeah.
cool. All right. Well, it's all starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow. It's at the Nugget Mall. It goes till 3 o'clock and tons of fun stuff.
And free popcorn.
And free popcorn. We didn't say free popcorn yet.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. Should have led with that. We buried the lead.
I know. Well, it's
I think
so
the dancing is the lead. The dancing is the lead.
Yes, I know. Well, everybody's going to want to dance when
yeah.
we finish
yeah.
out.
That's
so.
Right.
Oh, well, if anybody wants to come and sing a little karaoke or some little song or something for 2 or 3 minutes.
That sounds fun, too.
Sure. Why not give somebody a break? They could go to Hollywood.
Yeah, absolutely. That could happen. This is how these things
yeah,
happen, you know?
Yeah, they could, because I know people in Hollywood.
There you
so,
go.
And I wouldn't be afraid to call.
There's
either.
Your hookup. All right. So it's Janice Holst. Thanks so much for coming in. It's the Red Ribbon Rally. It's happening tomorrow. 1 to 3 p.m., it's at the Nugget Mall. It's going to be an afternoon full of lots of fun, obviously.
Yes,
all
and
for
thank
a great
you.
Message mm-hmm. of avoiding drugs. And that's
yes.
a great message for kids
oh,
to have.
Oh, definitely.
Thanks, Janice. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I should have played. Should have played the Rocky theme. Sorry.
Well, I was shooting Fry the Tiger, but I get them mixed up a lot.
Yeah.
Bump.
Bill Conti,
bump.
Survivor, Two different things.
Look at you, dropping the Bill Conti.
Boom.
Wow. Thin little lipstick microphone drop.
Seemed to rock you, of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, wow. How are you?
I'm going to fly now.
Andy Recline.
I know. I'm here.
My God. They just can't get like a bad Canadian penny. Not only won't you go away, but you're worth less.
That, I think I was insulted.
Right out of the gate.
Man, boom.
You're welcome, Juno.
Clint, how you doing?
Hey, good to see here ya.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Oh.
I got, you know, my hair's gotten
your
greasy.
Your hair's gotten longer.
And super greasy.
You've let your hair grow out a little bit.
Well, I'm poor.
I like it.
Can't, you know, haircuts in this town, 50, 60, 70 bucks.
Man.
I mean,
yeah.
I could do that or I could put new seats in.
Yeah.
What's
boom.
It going to be?
More seats. Please, more seats.
Please.
The asses of Juno beg for more seats.
Well, the least I can do, really.
Well, Colette, what's going on? You've got, what's the artsy films coming up?
Some artsy films. Have you come up? Well, as we know, because of Trip Krause's awesome little, he's a great little addition here. He's kind of new, huh? We're doing Rocky Horror this weekend, so all you freaks, come on out. Please don't be too freaky. I'm really not comfortable with that at all, so... Yeah.
Had that. We did that. KXL did that one year, Rocky Horror. It was fun. It was super fun. We had a great time, actually.
Very fun.
We worked with you on that. You helped us get the license to show the film and all that. That's right.
So I'm running around town trying to find 200 pairs of rubber gloves.
Yeah, that was tough.
You'd think it'd be
easy.
I know. Not really.
No.
We do like the full, like I have the full selection of props needed for the show.
That's
so, please,
so cool that you do that.
Don't bring your own. I don't mind if people use squirt guns. I just don't want them filled with...
All the
who
stuff,
knows what.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, and no hot dogs, which is a dumb thing anyway.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to waste a perfectly delicious hot dog throwing it?
So what's in the bag?
There's like 9 things. It's nuts.
Is rice, do you have people throw rice? Don't throw rice, because you can't clean it up.
Well, it's a cement floor. You'll wipe out.
Right,
and
right.
We have enough busted asses. So we get popcorn. You get a little bag of popcorn. And I'm telling you, right, you get popcorn, you get edible items like popcorn and toast. And I'm just telling you, if you're coming to the show, don't eat either of those.
Don't know.
Because we recycle.
Yeah. These aren't made
for the show.
Actual consumption. They're props. They're props.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the play. You're in the movie.
Yes.
You don't eat the props.
It's a real piece of toast,
right,
but you don't want to eat it.
You don't eat the props.
Ugh.
Right.
You get like toast, paper hats, noisemakers, rubber gloves, playing cards, squirt guns, glow sticks.
I love it. This is awesome. What's the
toilet paper? I forget the toilet paper.
You charging like $25 a head for
shouldn't
this?
Shouldn't I? I'm so dumb.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
This is why
you're giving people so much.
Holds on by a thread. And they're like, oh, sorry about rent this week, Neil. $15. I mean, my God.
Neil, can you float me for another
month? Here's the deal, son. How about a trade? Oh, God. I'm so dumb. $15. I know it's practically a giveaway, but
God, $15.
When we still have
so
a leftover
cheap
Willy Wonka gold ticket for free movies for a year. There's one left. I'm only doing it till the 31st, and after that, I feel like I've honored my part of the promise, and then y'all can...
How do people get that? How do
you
people
gotta
win
come
that
by and buy an expensive candy bar, but, you know...
But there's one in there.
There's one golden ticket left in my candy bars from Willy Wonka. Yeah, it's nuts. You could buy a lot of them.
And then you get... And you just get free movies?
Free
get...
movies for a year or a three-hour theater rental.
Wow.
I know. It's...
For a price, just someone needs to go buy, just buy all the candy bars.
All the candy bars! It's a 1 in 40 chance. 40 candy bars are $4 a pop is only $160.
Buy the candy. Get one with friends.
Dumb.
Go in, four friends go in together.
Do
buy all the candy.
Anywho, we got that. You know what else we have that's going to be cool this weekend? This weekend's stupid, I know, with all the stuff going on. But we're doing a reprisal of the live-recorded Frankenstein show that was put on at the London's National Theatre. We do this series of, like, you know,
sure,
live theater.
I love them. They're beautiful.
They're
yeah
so great.
Yeah, they're
and
cool.
this was a live stage production they did at the National Theatre in London, starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller, who both play Sherlock Holmes on TV now, directed by Danny Boyle, who did...
So how do they do
28
it?
28 Days Later
so
in Trainspotting.
Are they providing voices along
no,
with
no, it's a live show that was recorded.
Oh, okay.
It's a live
gotcha
stage show.
Gotcha.
It's an absolutely amazing stage show. And it's not like a single camera. It's, you know, they do multiple cameras. It's almost like watching a live movie. It's, you know, when they finally drop 120 frames per second on movies, it's going to look like this. It's going to look like a live show. Anyway, it's a tremendous show. Benedict Cumberbatch plays the monster. Johnny Lee Miller plays Dr. Frankenstein. That's going to be... Sunday at 2, Monday at 6. It's such a good show. And Danny Boyle is just, he's such a brilliant director. We got that, and we're finishing up the Woody Allen movie, Cafe Society, which is decent for a Woody Allen movie.
Is it?
It's one of his better ones.
Yeah.
On his slow slide into oblivion.
I know. Who's in this one? What young starlet
is his
muse this time?
Well,
around?
So
is
he's
Scarlett
finally
Johansson
got
again?
He's finally got somebody relative age to play himself, essentially.
What?
Yeah. And let me tell you, Jesse Eisenberg is the new Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's angst-ridden.
Sure.
Jesse Eisenberg, Steve Carell, Kristen Stewart, Blake Lively, Parker Posey.
That's all fun.
Oh, yeah. Great cast. Yeah. It takes place in 1930s Hollywood. Great costumes. Beautiful movie. Cafe Society plays this weekend at 7. Nutty. But what I'm really super excited about, other than Rocky Horror playing tonight and tomorrow at 9 p.m., is November, Nasty Women in Film Month. Just put it together.
Such a nasty woman.
Ah, God, I love him. Like, my original post was just going to be Betty Davis. And she's got this great quote. If you ever want if you want something done well, get a couple old broads to do it. Anyway, it's four new contemporary, same thing, repetitive, four contemporary movies directed by women. Some great women directors.
Directed by women.
Yeah, and starring women
yeah,
and
yeah.
about women and
yeah.
whatever. I mean, dudes, you should see them too because they're great. There's a great one from Australia called Girl Asleep that is sort of this weird, it's like a, it's almost like a combination of like a Wes Anderson and the Where the Wild Things Are mixed
or
with
the created world, a
mixed
small...
with like Napoleon Dynamite. It's just a story about a 15-year-old girl sort of, all those phrases are so dumb, like her, you know...
Coming of age story,
but it's, the whole thing is sort of a dream fantasy.
But, you know, when I think of Wes Anderson films and, like, Napoleon Dynamite, I always think of framing.
Yeah,
right?
That's very much like that.
Right?
So the picture...
every scene is this framed thing.
And this movie takes place in, I think, like... maybe the early 80s, so it has that look to it. And it's Australian, which is always funny, period.
Yeah, right.
It's just funny. Because
they talk so funny.
Yeah.
I love how they talk.
And
I could listen to that for 2 hours.
Polite. Is he going, mate? I mean, whatever. It's like, what?
See, I'm laughing.
That's hilarious. Anyway, so we have four great movies.
It's a tragedy, but...
We have a great one called Certain Women that's directed by a woman named Kelly Reichert, who a couple years ago did a movie called Meek's Cut Off.
So Certain Women, I read about, there's a sort of a vignette, there's three different vignettes in it, and doesn't Kristen Stewart again. In that one as well.
I got Case Stew. She's all over the joint.
I read a review of that that was excellent. It was an amazing movie.
The reviews on it are tremendous.
Yeah.
It's got Lily Gladstone, who's an awesome Native American actress. She was in Winter in the Blood that I played a couple years ago.
Takes place in Montana, is that right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, and Michelle Williams and Laura Dern, who I adore. And then, like, a couple dudes.
Yeah, who doesn't?
That one,
yeah,
whatever.
they're in there.
And then American Honey, which is another one that is pretty... The reviews on it are absolutely through the roof. Through the roof. So that's basically, I've got the year sewn up, dude. I'm done.
I love it.
I had it all scheduled out. I was all set, like, I was done. And then I went and watched this... I was like, okay, I'm good. I got all my movies. And then I hate when I do this. Somebody sent me this, you know, you get screeners. They're like, you should watch this. It's this like Swedish movie or Danish or something. One of those countries where everyone's attractive.
Yeah. And depressed.
Called A Man Named Ovi, which is based, it was a huge bestseller. It's like the second bestselling book out of the Northern countries since
The Dragon
People.
Yeah, right.
And it was, I mean, the movie started. It was like, I have to play this movie. I'm in love with this movie. It's so good.
Yeah. So when's that coming?
I don't know. Probably just, I'm going to have to push something else.
Oh, well.
So hard being me. Oh, so many problems. I got to show a movie, baby. Shut up. Go to work.
The inner dialogue. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I love you. Externalize the inner dialogue just
like,
then.
Just tell yourself what a
this
baby
is what's
you
happening
are.
To you all the time.
Oh, this is so hard. Don't you remember?
I know.
You know, it's hard commercial fishing. That's hard.
That's hard.
Showing a movie.
Easy.
Dumb, dumb.
I'm with you.
Come on.
Right.
Talking on a radio. So tough. My schedule's packed this week. I got to go make posters.
All right. On that note, you're disgusted with yourself.
For Rocky Horror,
I'm disgusted with myself
I think you should
now.
Do Rocky Horror at 9 o'clock tomorrow and then Playboy Spaceman at 10:30. But then you miss Annie B. It's tough.
It's so
tough. Next year I'm doing Rocky Horror the week before Halloween. This is nonsensical. And then Monday, trick-or-treating downtown for all the shops. Bring your kids downtown. Like, every store downtown.
That's what's going on Monday. It's
Monday,
all happening. Okay. We're doing that. The Alaskan Depot's doing that, too. And all the other... Yeah, everyone's doing it. Oh,
yeah.
Great. Okay,
yeah.
Good. Well,
actual real Halloween.
Real Halloween.
Not Dumb Dumb Grown Up Halloween.
I know. So when is Dumb Dumb Grown Up Halloween tonight, or is it tomorrow night?
That's the problem
we don't know.
With Grown Up Halloween.
No one knows.
No. That's what happens when you put a grown-ups in charge.
I know.
They mess
no
it all
No one's
up.
In charge.
No. When's Halloween? Monday.
Halloween's Monday. It's the 31st.
I gotta go. I'm busy.
Colette Costa.
Andy Klein.
Just running through here, man.
Gotta go.
Like a herd of wild horses.
See you later.
All right. We'll see you later. Their way out of here, Aaron Elmore. I told you it was the shining lights of Juneau's art scene coming
amazing
in here today.
Amazing afternoon here.
Oh, the people are here. Yeah, Aaron Elmore, unannounced.
That's right.
Come on in here, because what's going on with the Theater in the Rough? You've got a new play.
We do have a new play.
Let's talk about it.
We're
what's
opening 84 Charing Cross Road this evening. It's a play written based on a book by Helene Hampf. It's a real story, true story, 20th century story. Starts in 1949, goes to 1968.
Very cool.
It's a young woman in New York City who has a taste for strange and out-of-print books. She contacts a bookstore in England, writes them a letter, and this correspondence develops and grows and goes on. For 20 years, they wrote back and forth. She orders things, pays for them, and they keep telling her things. The friendships develop. They teach her how to make Yorkshire pudding just by letters. Uh-huh. And this is snail mail action here. So they'll write a letter and then they send a book by book post. So everything is very offset in the way that life was back then across the Atlantic Ocean. But it's a true story. It's very, very dear. And the friendships that develop are just kind of fascinating. And the fact that they're real people, of course, and they have all these sort of global world events going on. One of the characters heads off to South Africa at one point, but of course, there were already protests against apartheid at this time.
How do you represent all these different locations in the play?
Actually, the way the early designers of this thing, the first productions of it, said it in a very interesting way. They started out by having sort of these demarcated zones where on this side of the stage, here's Helene's house in New York, her apartment, very tiny, very sort of grubby. And then there's this bookshop, which is where she wants to be. And so through the course of the play, these two worlds kind of blend further and further and further. And that's kind of one of the fascinating parts to watch. Yeah.
So she
lives in the bookstore in her mind in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
vicariously.
Right.
So by the end of it, she actually goes and visits, but she doesn't do that until, 20 years have gone by. So.
And is it cathartic when she visits?
It's a beautiful thing. Yes. I don't want to spoilers, but it's a lovely little turn there at the end.
Yeah. How did you guys decide on this one? Of all the
different
things,
it's been in Katie's back pocket for quite a long time. It's a wonderful, wonderful part for her. She's just doing great. So Helene Hampf is that character's name. I'm playing a character named Frank Dole, who sells her books for those 20 years. And there's three other actors in the piece. It's a small cast. It's Zebediah Bodine, Sierra Trinchet, and Becky Orford sort of round out the bunch.
And tell me about when's it starting? How can people see it? All those cool things.
Yeah, well, we're going to start tonight. It opens tonight, and we'll run tonight and tomorrow night. Next weekend is a pay-as-you-can. I'd like to talk about that in just a second. And then Friday, Saturday. And then the next two weekends after that, the middle two weekends in heading towards Thanksgiving. It'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, what we wanted to do, because the Brits in this particular story are suffering from wartime rationing still in 1949. This was the time period in which they felt like they'd won the war but lost the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's Helene Havre, one of the things she starts doing right away is start sending them packages at Christmas, but, you know, just canned food and things. And they're just hugely grateful. It's a wonderful kind of bond that they build with over this.
So what better way to tie in, am I guessing, the food bank?
You got it, actually. And the glory hole as well.
And the glory hole.
So glory hole is going to be on site at Fourth and Gold. They're packing up their Thanksgiving boxes the week of our final run. And we're going to gather up as much canned food for them to help with that as we possibly can. So what we'd like to do is give a little bit of a donation out of each ticket, or if you show up and you bring a can of food with you, you get $2 off.
So, great.
Yeah.
And it's happening all at McPheeters Hall.
All at McPheeters Hall, 4th and Gold downtown, 7:30 shows in the evenings. The final two Sundays are 2 o'clock matinees.
Well, Aaron, thanks for dropping in, letting us know what's going on. Theater at the Rough, it's 84 Charing Crossing Road.
Charing Cross Road.
Charing Cross Road, sorry.
Yeah, that's the address.
Starts tonight.
That's the address of the bookshop. It starts tonight.
And it goes for the next couple of weekends.
Yeah,
but next weekend is the pay-as-you-can.
But we're taking canned food all the way through, and that donation will continue to be good all the way through. So as many people can come see it, we're going to give a small donation to the
cause. And it's a play all based on books, so what better thing to talk about next than Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac? Shall
Perfect.
We go to it next? Aaron,
Excellent.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 28th of October, 2016. It's the birthday of the convicted murderer and best-selling detective novelist Anne Parry, born Juliet Holm in London, 1938. She had tuberculosis. She was sent away to live in the Bahamas, then South Africa, then rejoined her family when she was 13, after her father got a job in New Zealand, where she became close friends with a classmate, Pauline Parker. They wrote letters to each other daily, created an elaborate fantasy world together. They were both working on novels. They planned to run away to New York together, find publishers, make the books into Hollywood movies. And then Juliet's parents decided to leave New Zealand and go back to South Africa. And the two girls were horrifying. They begged for Pauline to be able to move to South Africa too. And Juliet's parents said, okay, she could come with them, as long as it was okay with the Parkers. But Pauline Parker's mother refused to give her permission, and the two teenage girls decided that Pauline's mother was ruining their lives and she needed to be killed. And so they did. They invited her to go on a walk in the park. They bashed her head in with a brick, went back to the tea house where they had had lunch. They were covered in blood. They were arrested. Juliet was 15, Pauline 16. A murder that shocked New Zealand. They were sentenced to an indefinite prison sentence, released about 5 years later under the condition that they never contact each other. The girl who had been Juliet Holm changed her name to Anne Parry, converted to Mormonism, settled in a remote Scottish village, published a murder mystery in 1978 called The Cater Street Hangman, wrote a detective series, and then in 1994, the Parker Holm murder case inspired a movie, Heavenly Creatures, starring Kate Winslet as Juliet. A reporter wrote a story about the film, discovered not only that Juliet was still alive, but she was a best-selling, world-famous writer named Anne Parry, who has written more than 50 novels, and who said of her writing, "It is vital for me to go on exploring moral matters." Here's a poem for today by Patricia Farnioli, "Message for the Disheartened." When you are expecting nothing, a letter arrives and someone decides for you. Your arms fall to your sides, your hands open. You dress for the weather in your gold moccasins and prepare for long journeys to distant countries. the foxes who come out of the forests stall before you, but do not startle. They are so beautiful, full of spice and sugar. Vines grow wildly around you, tangling your thoughts. There are so many countries you've never traveled to. You've been keeping to your own rooms like a blanket stored inside a closet or an Egyptian mummy or a room full of model ships. In case you miss me, keep moving through time, and I will arrive finally in a black coat and top hat, leaving my cane in the closet to open your inner pages, saying, after all, life is sweet and not as dangerous as you might think, though the thief runs off with the child before help comes. Message for the Disheartened, a poem by Patricia Farnioli from her collection Winter, published by Hobblebush Books and used by permission here in the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, a monthly devoted to discovering and publishing new voices in poetry. More at poetryfoundation.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Comes from Pie in the Sky, offering a variety of organic handmade pastries, sweet and savory baked goods, and cakes for events. Pie in the Sky, striving to add a sweet punctuation to the important moments of people's lives. 523-9135.
And welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein in the studio. Amy O'Neill Hawk is with me, as well as Shelley Virginia. And also, Shelley, could you introduce?
Yes, this is my 15-month-old daughter, Hunter.
Hunter, how are you doing, Hunter? You want that thing? It's weird.
It's
funky.
Weird. It's funky.
It's strange. She's playing with the microphone cover. It's very fun, which is, I don't know, it's kind of disgusting, but it's pretty cool and weird, too. Well, welcome, Shelley. You're the lead in the play that's happening right now, Not Medea, and so that's exciting. And
it is.
Have you been up to Juno before?
You know, this is my first time to Juno. I've been to Southeast before, but
okay.
First time to Juno, and it's
awesome.
Been amazing.
Yeah, well, the weather has been a little bit ludicrous.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, we're not knock anything nearby. And Amy, it's exciting because Shelley is in this play, and we can talk about that some. But what's really cool is that you roped her into doing an actor's workshop as well.
Yes.
So that sounds pretty cool.
We've started something called Drama School, which is precisely to be able to let the community have access to the expertise that the artists that are coming into town have. So we've been offering classes, some last season and more this season, just using, you know, all the wonderful and exciting skills and techniques that the artists have to offer.
That's such a cool thing. So, Shelley, where did you study?
I studied at Columbia University in New York. That's where I got my MFA in theater.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you go to undergrad somewhere and then went to Columbia?
I did. I went to undergrad at Georgia State University. I majored in journalism.
All right.
Did plays the whole time in Atlanta.
I'm a Gator, by the way.
Well,
I should just set this up right now, just so you know. And she just walked out.
My daughter with me.
Later, Gator. So that's cool. So from Georgia to Columbia, and then mm-hmm. as your acting career allowed you to kind of travel all over the place?
It really has. I found after a while I was concentrated in the Pacific.
That was nice.
My daughter.
That was me. Sorry, guys. My bad.
And that was right into the microphone.
Yeah, it was pretty loud. No, it's good.
Good one, babe. Good one. Alaska girl, what can we say?
Yeah,
she was born in Alaska.
You feed a kid. There you go. I mean, come on. That's what happens.
I found that I was working mostly in the Pacific Northwest, and my husband is from Ketchikan, and I met him in New York. And so I was spending a lot of time there, and our dream was sort of to make a living doing theater in Alaska.
Oh, yeah,
and,
cool.
He, about a year ago, got a job teaching at the University of Alaska Anchorage. So
oh,
we live in Anchorage
cool.
now.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. So, and it's been a pleasure to work with Perseverance. First time I'd, you know, known about them, of course, forever.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Yeah, living here in Alaska, it's been great.
Well, that's very cool. So, Amy, tell me about how these workshops are kind of structured typically. Or
well, depending on what we're teaching, you know, it can be just a one-night thing like this is. This is Sunday. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. It's free. You don't have to sign up. It's called Viewpoints. And it's movement-based, and I'm going to let Shelley give a little more detail about details of the class. But yeah.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Yeah, so Viewpoints is a method of actor training, also of ensemble building and of staging that was developed out of modern dance and adapted for theater by Anne Bogart and Tina Landau, who are pretty big-name directors, and I studied with Anne at Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
What we'll be dealing with in the workshop is nine physical viewpoints that we are all using all the time, things like tempo and duration and spatial relationship, and we'll just point them out. We'll play with them. And this gives actors a way of making conscious choices about how they move on stage.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How do actors get to the point where they're making those conscious choices, but doing them in a way that is natural?
Well,
to view, right?
I think it's a process throughout the rehearsal, of finding ways to motivate your choices. But also the thing that Viewpoints does that I love so much about it is it really allows actors to follow their instincts so that, things can be spontaneous, that it's not, you're not thinking about it all the time. Like, you can just...
You put yourself in that place.
You put yourself in that
place. And it naturally...
Yeah, and you follow your instincts, which is sometimes hard for actors. It's hard for us sometimes to get past our brain,
Yeah, you have your lines, and you have your blocking, and you have your things, all that stuff, right?
And to live in the moment. And that's really what Viewpoints aids in, is really... acting spontaneously, living in the moment, listening with your entire body.
Now, is this something that doing a workshop, like, is that something that's kind of typical when you travel around and are an actor? Is that often what's happening?
Yeah, and I would say that it's something that I really relish. I really think of myself as an actor and a teaching artist. I love teaching. And so, it is usually, almost always, when I'm acting, I'm also teaching.
That's cool. Yeah. Is that kind of part of the portfolio you bring to, when you're kind of even trying out or thinking about that, you sort of are, is that something that's part of what's on the table in a way?
It's something that I,
I don't know that whole world. Casting, especially bringing in, like when theaters, all kinds of theaters in America, right, bring in talent that aren't there locally, and often they then are working with local and that kind of thing. So, Maybe it's a question for both of you, but
right.
It's just an interesting thing of how you end up casting. I'm sure most of it is, who fits with the role and who works and that kind of thing. But then there is also a whole package that you're bringing in, right?
Right, and I think that's probably a question for Amy, because I don't know if Perseverance looked at me and thought, oh, she can teach a workshop. But it is certainly something that I, when I got cast, I immediately thought, like, oh, I wonder if I could teach a workshop.
Oh, cool.
There are several different workshops that I teach that I enjoy teaching other than Viewpoints. And so it's nice to be able to do that, to exercise those muscles, too.
Well, that's cool. Okay, so the Actors Workshop is happening Sunday. Goes from 6 to 8 p.m. free.
Okay.
Don't have to sign up ahead of time. Just show up.
It's at the theater.
And it's this sort of physicality of acting called Viewpoints, way of a number of different techniques that actors can kind of use. That's very cool. Let's talk a little bit about, and we've got a couple of minutes, let's talk a little bit about the play that's happening right now.
Yeah, so we have two more weekends, so tonight through Sunday, and then next week we have a Wednesday night show, and that's actually a special show. It's our Juno Arts promotion, just to sort of thank the community of artists and all the artists in this community. We're offering half off tickets.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
You said, what, do you have to, like, bring in a painting?
I did this.
It's proof. See?
You can claim it. You want the artist title, you claim it.
I'm an artist.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yep.
I love that idea.
Yep.
Let's see if you really. Yeah, that's it. You got to be able to proclaim it.
You can go online. You use the code Juno Arts. You can call the box office and go to the Jack. Get half off.
Awesome. Well, Shelley and Amy, thanks so much for coming in. And Hunter, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Turn right around immediately. Absolutely. It's just the first time she's noticed me. She's been here. Hi. How you doing? I'm Andy. All right. Thanks so much to all you guys. And that's, once again, the workshop's on Sunday night. And the play is happening this weekend and next weekend
that's
as well.
Right.
And it's everything I hear about the play is fantastic.
It is great.
Wonderful reviews from everyone around. I've been out of town. I swear I would have seen it otherwise.
You still can.
You know me.
Yeah.
You know me. All right.
Okay.
Thanks so much to you guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
That I could save myself, but then I realized everybody else. I am the body, I am the blood, the living testimony of my father and his father and his father. I had a dream of my living dead was paid. Could let my mama know I was born to be a slave. In this modern way, I am the body, I am the blood, the living testimony of my father.
That's a little bit of Playboy Spaceman off of their last album. And George Kuhar, lead singer.
Hello.
Principal songwriter.
Yes.
Of Playboy Spaceman is here. George, thanks so much for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
And you're doing this such a great, cool thing. Once again, the yearly tradition continues now.
Yes, it does. It continueth.
The Halloween Skull Party is coming up. Is this the fourth annual?
This is the third one.
Third annual, okay.
Although Bridget and I have played, I think, 7 out of the last 8 Halloweens together.
Well, the first Halloween I ever saw you play was when you guys did the Nosferatu soundtrack. I think that was the first Halloween you guys
did
in town.
That was, like in 2008.
Yeah, that was so, I just have never forgotten it. It was awesome. Anyway, I'm a super fan, you know. But we'll get past that here in this moment.
Okay. All right. Rise above it professionally.
Let's talk about are you going to be, tell me about the set and kind of like what you're trying to incorporate in the set that might be different than what people have seen before from Playboy Spaceman.
Well, you know, we decided, you know, let's do some of the songs from the first EP that we put out, the Tokyo EP.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, let's try and do as many of those songs as we can.
Okay.
And then when that idea came up, it was like, well, shoot, let's build a Mount Fuji, put that on stage, because we're doing the Jack this year, and so there's a little more space on stage. We're like, well, we got to fill up the stage.
I've seen some Facebook posts about this. Looks pretty fascinating.
So, you know, Jason and I, we spent the last couple of weeks making a volcano, basically.
It's all very safe.
Mm-hmm. It's very safe.
Very safe.
But, I mean, it has to be safe enough for us to not have a big cleaning bill at the end of it.
Yeah, it's super safe.
Super safe, but it's pretty cool. It's about 8 feet tall, and it's 24 feet wide.
It's full of molten lava.
It's full of molten lava.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Yes. And it's red. It's a red volcano.
And it looks like Mount Fuji.
It does.
Yeah. It definitely looks like Mount Fuji. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you think so.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Yeah. And that's kind of, I mean, I don't want to talk through too much about how that's going to all get revealed, because that's going to be fun as far as the whole stage show, I'm guessing.
Right. Yes.
But that'll be exciting. And then how are you encouraging people to show up?
They should show up in costume.
It's a Halloween party.
It's a Halloween party.
Yeah.
Halloween party, Halloween dance. We're going to have a costume contest, which I believe...
I'm going to help with.
Andy Klein
is going
to
help with the costume contest. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Take the reins on that.
Yeah, and I need to be in a costume, doesn't it?
We have a golden pumpkin crown. We're going to crown the winner. I carved out a
is it edible? An edible crown?
Not anymore.
Oh. One time it was edible.
One time you might, yeah. But it might, you could probably throw it in your compost pile, I guess.
Right. It's not bad for worms. They'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they'll do okay with it, yeah.
Well, tell me about what's going on in musically with you. Is the show going to incorporate some stuff that hasn't been heard before?
Well, we're going to be playing a song from the Tokyo EP that we've never played live before.
Okay.
And then everything else is we're going to be playing, you know, we've had three releases. We had Tokyo in 2012. We had One Heart Army in 2014. And this year we released And His Father. And we're going to be playing music from all those three different albums.
So this is really cool, right? Have you in your musical career ever had one entity that you've played with that had sort of this catalog?
I had a band in Austin. We did develop a large catalog. We played together for 10 years.
So you have some experience about how to build a set based on a catalog that maybe people have some familiarity with. You know, your super fans kind of show up and they'd want to hear.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's part of the
inspiration of, like, doing some songs off the Tokyo EP that we've never played before. We never even thought we would ever attempt to play them. They just didn't seem like a song that we would ever do live. But that's part of the thing. It's like, well, let's throw this in here for the super fans. You know, like somebody out there is going to be like, oh, this song. Oh my God, I can't believe they're playing it. You know,
right.
So we wanted to give something to those people.
Yeah, and it's a really exciting thing that you've developed.
Yeah,
you know
it is,
I mean?
Exciting. Yeah, it's really you know, when we rehearse as a band, we're still kind of like we have this like all about like, wow, we're like this band.
We're a band
now, and we have like you know, all these songs. They're like, well, let's not play this one this time. Let's do this one, you know.
Or let's do it like we used to do it back in 13.
Yeah,
you know.
we were rehearsing last night how we're going to start the song Tokyo, and like, well, we could start it like it is on the EP, or we could start it like this. Or Bridget and I, we used to start it like this, you know, back in 13. You named it. and we are going to go with the 2013 intro.
There you go. I'm one of those super fans. I knew it.
You'd
go with the 13 intro.
The way we started it at Glitters in 2013. Yes, that's how we're going to start it this time.
I want to talk about Glitters for a minute because I want to say that I feel like there's some little piece of Playboy Spaceman as a group started at Glitters, kind of.
That was the first jam. Well, you know, we played at the Alaska Robotics after party. They did a...
But that was... Were you guys calling yourselves Playboy Spaceman then?
We were, yeah.
Oh, okay. But that was the first time Nick and Morgan played with you guys, was at the Glitters thing.
Yes, that's right.
By the way, the Alaska Robotics one was where I almost smoked out the building. Remember that? With that
I
smoke
remember
machine?
The fire department showing up. I do remember that.
That was funny. And the fire department, the guy showed up and he went like, oh, is this that Playboy Spaceman concert?
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I said, yeah. And then he was like fully decked out. And he said like, all right, we'll just keep the smoke down to a minimum. This is cool, man. That sounds great. And then he left. Yeah, it was really awesome.
That's awesome.
But you know, I was going to say that it was really fun at the last concert you guys did, how you could see the ripple of recognition happen among the crowd when you guys played sort of your greatest hits, you know, like when you started playing when Tokyo started, people like went, oh, and, you know, and
that's
those
awesome,
kinds of
yeah.
things. Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of happening, or All Right All Night, or these sort of like ones that you guys have done videos for that people are really familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty
you know,
pretty
on my
fun
Facebook feed, it showed up recently, like 5 years ago today, and it was a picture of our first show that we did at the Rookery on a first Friday in September of 2012, I guess that was. Is that right? So it's been 5 years. Our first show was at the Rookery.
Yeah, wow.
On a first Friday. You know, I think there was maybe 30 people there.
Yeah.
And we had 300 people going to our last show
at the
Rockwell Ballroom.
You
so
always pack it out no matter what
just,
the room is.
You know, just keep at it. Keep
going. All right, they're going to keep at it. It's going to start tomorrow night. What time?
The doors are at 8. The music's going to start at 9. Annie and Dara are going to open. They got a band together. They're going to play some special songs. I don't know what all of them are. I do know they're going to play I Put a Spell on You by Creedence Clearwater. I'm excited to hear that.
Well, that sounds Howlin' Wolf, first and foremost, right? And then by Creedence.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, both are great references.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I got Tokyo playing in the background here, but what are you charging for this?
It's $15 at door or online at playboyspaceman.com. And it's a 21 and up show, and Rendezvous is hosting the bar, and come in costume, we have a costume contest, the music starts at 9, and it after the bands are done playing, we're just going to have some more music playing, and we're all just, I got to get down and dance, too.
That's right.
You know, I got to get my share.
That's right. That's right. Don't stop that from happening. All right, George Kuhar from Playboy Spaceman. The Halloween Skull Dance Party is happening tomorrow night. It's at Rockwell. It's going to be a blast.
No, at the Jack.
Sorry, it's not at the Rockwell. It's at the Jack. My bad. It's at the Jack. And it's going to be so much fun to have it in that big, expansive, cool room.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
yes. That's
excited
right.
About
it's
that.
It's going to be so cool. All right, it's all happening, and it will feature not just George, Bridget, and the rest of the great... We'll name the rest of the band real quick. Simon, Jason...
We got Simon Taylor on bass, Jason Messing on drums, and Nick Wagner on the electronic drums.
They're
and
all
Bridget
happening.
On the keyboards.
It's all happening tomorrow night. See you there. That's it for the show today. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
The FBI announces it's investigating newly discovered emails in connection with Hillary Clinton's use of a private server. We'll hear about that and other matters from our Friday politics regulars. It's Friday, October 28th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. Also in this hour, we'll check in on the World Series, which moves to Wrigley Field this evening. This weekend, Hindus celebrate the festival of Diwali. One problem they have outside India is a good luck symbol fraught with other symbolism in the West, the swastika.
For Hindus, it has a very positive connotation, and it means...